This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Kamala Harris wants you to know she's pro-gun, man. She's just like Donald Trump. And it's gotten completely ridiculous. I mean, to the point where she's running ads to assure people she would never take their guns.
I and Tim Walz are both gun owners. We will not take anybody's guns away. We also need to have reasonable gun safety laws, I believe.
We'll not take anyone's gun away. That's a lie, she said at the debate with Trump.
And then this business about taking everyone's guns away. Tim Walz and I are both gun owners. We're not taking anybody's guns away. So stop with the continuous lying about this stuff.
Mm-hmm. But let's hear from Kamala personally. And I don't even think people on our side realize how bad this is. Mandatory gun. Okay, this is not, hey, we'll give you some money for your guns if you want to turn them in. Mandatory. How many? 5 million. How do I know? She said. Came out of her mouth. But what's the scariest about this woman is she believes she can take your guns executively with just a signature. In fact, mocked Joe Biden when he said, look, we got the Second Amendment. I mean, you can't just take 5 million of their guns with your signature. She thinks she can.
What would you do about the millions of specifically assault weapons that are already in circulation? What do you do about those?
Well, there are approximately 5 million, to your point, Craig. We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program. It's got to be smart. We got to do it the right way.
Mandatory. And she thinks she can do it executively, which, folks, if they got the presidency, the House, and the Senate, they'll just remake the Supreme Court. Supreme Court will just say, yes, ma'am, whatever she wants to do.
Biden saying there's no constitutional authority to issue that executive order when they say I'm going to eliminate assault weapons.
Hey, Joe, instead of saying no, we can't, let's say yes, we can.
Let's get constitutional. We got a constitution.
And yes, we can.
We've got a constitution. I mean, that's how much, right there in that clip, how much more radical than him she is. That was the Democrat primary debate in 2020. Folks, it hasn't even been 5 years. But this is the ad she's running over the weekend.
I and Tim Walz are both gun owners. We will not take anybody's guns away. We also need to have reasonable gun safety laws. I believe that we need an assault weapons ban. We need universal background checks. We need red flag laws.
I'm a gun owner. Tim Walz is a gun.
I did not know that.
If somebody breaks in my house, they're getting shot.
Yes, yes.
By the way, she had to walk that back over the weekend. No, she did. The liberals were very offended that a good liberal voter could be shot just for breaking into her house. It's not fair. So, why is she doing this? This is what's so cool about this. This is one of these generational changes that we're seeing because she's having problems with black voters right now. And she needs women voters to vote for her. Listen to this. Before Barack Obama did all the damage, just 13% of gun owners were women. Between 2009 and 2023, as the Democrats are depolicing, terrorizing women, people are scared. Now, one in five women, in Common Core math, that'd be 20%. One in five women own a gun. That is fantastic. Nothing will turn you away from liberalism faster than having that gun taken from you. Or someone talking about it. One in five women own a firearm. The majority of first-time gun owners now, year after year, are women. In other words, you go in there, you're buying your first gun. Majority are women. Not men, women. Why? Democrat depolicing, Democrat crime rates. I don't care what they claim, it's down, it's not. The FBI just leaves a lot of the top 60 Democrat-run cities out. These women are single moms. They're in Democrat-run cities. They're scared to death. And now she's walking around, I'm going to take your gun. I'm going to take 5 million guns. But you see what's so great here? It's so much bigger than this election or Trump or Kamala or whatever. Democrats now, I've never seen this in my life. Democrat, not since I've been following politics. Democrats walking around me. No, I love guns. Look, I got a gun. Hey, I won't take any guns. She's lying, of course, and I just demonstrated that. They can't even say it anymore because of why. They depoliced, and now women are terrified. They need their guns to survive living under Democrat policies. And those women flip when you talk about it. Listen to this. Particularly black women. This is Essence magazine. The majority of women, first-time gun owners, are black. I should say the plurality are black. 43%. So this isn't just women going for guns for the first time. This is black women who did not have guns going for guns. Because they have to. I mean, they have to survive the Democrat policy. But look what's being flooded into their communities. The worst criminals on earth coming right over that border. We're supposed to celebrate. They don't look like they're celebrating. Again, as of 2022, women are the fastest growing group of gun owners in America. You know why? Democrat policies. You got to have a gun. You got to have a gun. Or good luck. Good luck. So Democrats want to be seen as having the same gun policies as Republicans. You know why that's so good? That is going to protect the Second Amendment right there. And they did it to themselves with their own policies. You can't even say to women, by the way, when I started in politics, majorities of Americans wanted much stricter gun laws. They wanted gun confiscation. It was always 46, 47% versus 52, 53. Women in particular were anti-gun. Now they're afraid for women to hear, hey, you may not be able to have a gun. They're terrified of that. Democrats have done this to themselves, but it's good news. If Democrats are this terrified of even appearing to be anti-Second Amendment, you know what it means? We'll probably get to keep our guns that much longer.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Meanwhile, more good news this weekend. Okay, if you looked at the polls this weekend, you would have seen everybody so excited. Oh yeah, Kamala Harris surging after the debate. But then again, I told you they do this. I told you before the debate, they were actually taking her down a couple percentage points in these polls. So then they could do the story of her miraculous recovery after the debate and surge in the hope of brainwashing the American people into thinking that everyone they know is voting for Kamala. So they might as well, too. But is that actually what's happening. There's some signs that it's not. Like this over the weekend from Liberal Politico magazine. Headline, Democrats privately worry the Teamsters non-endorsement is a warning sign. Oh, you bet it is. 8 years after Donald Trump shattered the blue wall, they write, some Democrats worry he could do it again. Most polls show Kamala Harris tied or leading Trump in critical battleground states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin after commanding performance at the debate. Party leaders are projecting confidence publicly, but on the ground, jittery elected officials, strategists, and allies are quietly pointing to warning signs for the vice president. They don't think she can get enough white working class vote to pull this thing off. The signs that that is true are everywhere, no matter what the polls are saying. Start with the incredible endorsement this weekend by the Muslim mayor of Hamtramck of Donald Trump. Okay, Hamtramck, Michigan is the most Muslim city in the entire country. The mayor, longtime Democrat. It's a Democrat stronghold. I don't know if you've followed the politics on this, but if you have, you know how incredible this is, okay? Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have been unleashing billions of dollars to help Hamas, taking the sanctions off Iran, betraying Israel. Kamala Harris even had her stepdaughter raising money for a Hamas-associated charity. I mean, this is how far they went. And the worry from Democrats has been that Muslims wouldn't show up because, you know, Harris and Biden weren't, you know, anti-Semitic enough, weren't anti-Israel enough. The thought that they would ever actually vote for Trump was incomprehensible. The worry was that they'd lose Michigan. The Democrats would, again, because Muslims just wouldn't show up for that. Well, to hear the mayor of Hamtramck has endorsed Trump, folks, this is so much bigger than just that city. This is echoing all over the country in Muslim communities because it wasn't supposed to happen. Trump is unapologetically pro-Israel. He did everything wrong. He didn't coddle Hamas. He vows to destroy them if he gets in power. Let me put it this way. Do you think the mayor of Hamtramck would have endorsed Trump if he wasn't hearing on the ground that a lot of his constituents are voting Trump? His Democrat constituents who elected him as a Democrat? You bet. Do you think that he would have endorsed Trump this close to the election if he thought Trump was going to lose, or at least lose Michigan? Oh, hell no. At a minimum, if he thought that, if he thought, wow, I don't know which way it's going to go, he would have just withheld his endorsement. He'd be more powerful that way. Instead, he goes for Trump. What does that tell you about what's going on the ground in Michigan, in those Muslim strongholds that they really, Democrats really need to carry Michigan? Okay, now flip to Pennsylvania, where John Fetterman got as close to endorsing Trump as is humanly possible without committing political suicide. He's a Democrat senator, but Pennsylvania is a very purple place. Trump won it in 2016. And what I'm about to play for you is about as close as you can get to endorsing Trump without endorsing Trump. Listen to what Fetterman says here. He's saying nice things about Kamala, but notice he says a nicer thing about Trump. Why would he do that? Let me put it this way. Why would he do that if Trump were losing? He wouldn't. Fetterman is hearing stuff on the ground. He does not want to piss off his crossover vote, who no doubt voted for him and for Trump in 2016. Here's Fetterman's answer to the question, what advice do you have for Kamala Harris? His answer, roughly translated, an incredible answer for a Democrat senator, if you think about it, is people here on the ground in Pennsylvania love Trump. That's what he's saying.
And I know I trust her instincts, and she's got a great team surrounded by her, and she is she's an amazing candidate overall. But I would also remind you that Secretary Clinton was fantastic, perhaps the most supremely accomplished kinds of candidate that I can ever remember, and see what happens. And Trump has created a special kind of a hold within the corner, and he's remade the party, and he has a special kind of place in Pennsylvania, and I think that only deepened after that first assassination attempt.
Let me just press on this one.
Then there was the Janet Jackson non-endorsement. Folks, this was a top 10 article in the country over this weekend. Why? everybody in the black community's read it by now. This was a big freaking deal. Okay, Janet Jackson, you know, sister of Michael Jackson, icon in the black community. If she's saying something like this, they're all paying attention. Is that a simple question? How do you feel as a about a black woman as president? Okay, all she had to do was say, oh yeah, that'd be cool. Instead, she slams Kamala Harris and says, oh, she's not really black. Quote, her father's white. That's what I was told. I mean, I haven't watched the news in a few days. I was told that they discovered her father was white. Well, after the uproar over those comments, she walked it back and said, oh, it's confused. You know, I wasn't watching the news. So sorry. That's it, folks. This was a backhanded slap at Kamala Harris. Janet Jackson isn't this dumb, okay? She's not. That was a slam at Kamala Harris. What she's doing is giving black people permission not to vote for her. What she's essentially saying here is, I don't think she's down for the struggle. I don't think she's one of us. Notice when this thing got even bigger, I think, than Janet Jackson meant for it to be. And she had the second statement she put out. She still didn't explicitly endorse Kamala Harris and say, oh, yeah, no, she's totally one of us. Yeah, definitely we should vote for her. That was absolutely key. Let me ask you a question. Like everyone else, the mayor of Hamtramck, Fetterman, do you think Janet Jackson would have said that about Kamala Harris if what she's hearing from people around her and black people around her is that Kamala is the bomb and they're all going for her and she's the next thing? Do you think she would have said a thing like this about Barack Obama, whose mom actually was white? Oh, heck no. This was a backhanded slam, an anti-endorsement. If you don't feel like voting for the witch, don't. What is she seeing in the black community that she would, you know, weather vane, put her finger in the wind in this direction? Well, I don't know. But if it's anything like what that Harvard Harris poll just found, I mean, it's a disaster. Again, I still can't get over this. Obama won 95% of the black vote. Joe Biden won 87%. You got to get at least 85 to win. That's the bare minimum for their coalition. Right now, Kamala Harris is pulling 49% of black males under the age of 50, 63% overall. That is a disaster. And folks, black voters don't have to come out and vote for Trump. If they just stay home and say, I can't do it. Janet says she's not even black. That'd be enough to get Trump the win. And it's as if Janet Jackson understands this. Look, black voters can use the internet just as easily as white voters. The last two times that Kamala Harris has gone out on a weekend, spoken to a black crowd in that fake black accent that she otherwise has never used, it's gone viral. And I know that because I have access to the Topic Pulse program that shows me what are the top 10, top 20 articles trending, liked, hit, shared at any time in this country. And those have been among the most popular. And I've always wondered, are they garnering the numbers because black people are checking this out? Black people are seeing that she transitions into the black voice when she's talking to a black crowd. I can see that getting on people's nerves. I think it's getting on white people's nerves, too. But for Janet Jackson to say that, that was a massive diss. It means something.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.